This is a podcast about living out of intimacy, a conversation over coffee about a living God whose desire is to live out of you. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us. I'm Jason Goodson.
And I'm Johnny Taylor.
And this is Coffee and Conversations. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jason Goodson right here. I'm alongside of this man,
Johnny Taylor.
And, man, it's been a little bit since we've been back on the podcast here, Coffee and Conversations with God. And I know that over the summer seems to, you know, everything kind of discombobulates for us a little bit. And busy spring here and busy fall. And
we were busy before.
Right.
Finishing this up.
Yep. The book.
Yes.
That's right. Religion Hears.
The Spirit Does.
It's a good copy there. You can find that on Amazon, and you can on any link. We'll link it up for you.
We'll drop a link in the bottom of the video.
Video here today, and you can find that book. And it took us 15 years to write 88 pages, but it's
we might be a little slow.
It's just over time, you know. It's pretty funny, but you look at it overall and see the just the aspect of the book of James as being the most gracious book in Scripture, and that's kind of our content on how we write the book and just kind of the things that we have learned about it over the years. And so I hope you enjoy that and take the time to read it. It's not a long read, and it's chock full of some information I think is really good.
Oh, yeah. I'm fired up about what we're going to talk about today.
You know, I think you're feeling dangerous. You're feeling dangerous today, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We dangerous.
Well, yeah, there is a, I don't know, I feel like there's, over the topics we have covered over the years, which says everything, I think we've pretty much covered a lot of them. And sometimes in repeat, but the message is always, we always come back to the same message.
Yes.
But today I want to, you know, I talked to JT, I guess it was in the fall, and got a hold of Stuart, and basically I'll set this up this way, is to say that I was, you know, interested. We just finished the James book, and I was excited to jump into doing another writing, and I've been intrigued by the book of Romans for quite a long time, and seeing the, you know, just the goodness of God in Romans, the gospel, you know, we talk about the glory of God in that as well. And so, and JT came up with something that I thought was quite fascinating. And ever since we've had this conversation, it's been, I think my perspective has changed overall on how I read Romans at this point. Yeah. Within it. So hopefully you can jump in with us here. I've got a great cup of coffee. I've got some, I've got a little Costa Rican going here today. I'm fired up about it, and enjoy this conversation, because I think that there's something to be learned from it. We're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant.
Everybody. I mean, just about everybody knows what the Ark of the Covenant is.
Yeah.
If they've ever watched
The Raiders of the Lost Ark. Man, yeah. I mean, I remember being a kid in the theater talking about watching this movie and talking them. That was the subject matter of the very first one. If you've not seen it, it's by far the best one, number one. And number two, it is it's pretty incredible how the Ark of the Covenant through Scripture and through the book of Romans is laid out. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll give you a quick update. The Ark of the Covenant is not mentioned one time in the book of Romans.
No. Not that I know.
And then, oh my gosh, why are you guys talking about the book of Romans and talking about the Ark of the Covenant? Well, we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And I think what you're going to find is throughout Scripture that the Ark of the Covenant represents many things that is important to us, and some things that we've studied and researched. And I just want to allow you, the listener, to be able to really take it and consume it. Because my prayer for you in this is that maybe this changes something on the inside for you about your relationship with God. And hopefully in the process of that, that you're going to see a truth and taste a nugget of goodness that you're going to want more of. Okay, so let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant.
I was going to say, we're not going to even come close to covering.
No, we won't cover it all, no way. But
what's in the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
But I think the thing we're probably going to focus on today is the presence of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's probably going to be our focal point of what the Ark of the Covenant has to do. And thinking about the Raiders of the Lost Ark, they made it theatrical, but I love the way they portrayed the power.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what it represented.
Right. Yeah, there's quite a bit in there on that.
The guy's face is melting
off. Yeah. It's the first time I ever saw blood melt off somebody. You know, I thought that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life, and kind of creepy as well. So,
yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
let's talk about the presence of God.
It's
moving through history here.
Yeah, it's interesting because you see, I was thinking earlier, and we could go way on back to Abraham and all that, but we're going to start with the children of Israel in Egypt. And you think about one of the things they saw, the presence of God, was the presence of God passed over them because the blood was on the door.
Right.
That was one of their experiences, the presence of God. And when they left Egypt, there was a pillar of fire that led them by night. It stood there at night, and a cloud, the presence of God, that move them by day. So I think most people probably know that. They probably heard the story and watched the Ten Commandments. And
Well, in Exodus 25, there's a pretty big description of the ark. But John 1:14 in the New Testament, I really like this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it talks about the presence, the word. The Word of God, the Logos that became flesh, right? At this point, and dwelt among us, it says, and we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, who does that refer to, JT?
It's talking about Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus. That's the Sunday school answer of the day. And so, but do you understand that's what it's talking about? So when he begins, when the book opens up in John chapter 1 and really displays this in the form of Jesus Christ, and it shows up in flesh, you know, and
yeah.
So this idea of the ark moving through the, God's presence moving through history. And then we go back to Exodus 25 and we talk about the building of the ark and what it looks like and, you know, what its purpose is and what it's there for. And, you know, the hard question is, you know, I know you've heard us. Maybe you've heard us talk about it. I mean, you may have heard your pastors talk about it or in a Bible study, but the word mercy seat, okay, always comes up. So what do we know about the mercy seat, okay? Well, and Exodus talks a lot about it right here. If you're going to learn some basic things about it, it gives you the building of the ark, what it's made out of, acacia wood. It talks about how big it is, the length and the width and the height, and we get some detail about it as well.
It's coated with solid gold.
Gold, yes. It's cast by four rings of gold to put it in the four corners, you know. So
they could pick it up with poles.
Make it up the poles of acacia wood. They overlay it with gold. Yeah,
because they weren't supposed to touch it.
That's right. You should put the poles in the ring, all right, and the ark may be carried by them. You're good to touch the part that you can pick up and carry for sure, right? And so you shall put the ark in the testimony which I will give you, right? Ark that put into the ark of the testimony is what they call it, which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold.
He prepared a box to put the law in.
Yeah, he sure did, man. Interesting, huh? Two cherub of gold, hammered work, to make them the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. And so, and I'm not reading this word for word, but I'm just looking at the details.
Yeah.
So they covered the mercy seat with their wings. It's and they shall face one another, and the faces of the cherub shall be down towards the mercy seat, and in a humble position on there. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, right? On the testimony that I will give you. And there I will. And I love this part right here. We were talking about this a little earlier, but this is what God says about his presence right there. He says, there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you about the mercy, above the mercy seat, from between the two cherub, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel.
Now, see,
what
the pillar of fire was there and the cloud was there, but they couldn't really go close to that.
That's right. Yeah.
So God is making a way for them to come closer.
Mm-hmm. That's what this is.
To be able to hear him.
That's why this is important for this story, you know. Yeah. And it's because, you know, it was a way for somebody to enter into the presence of God and not fall over dead.
Yeah.
And anyways, there's so much there in that as well, but it gives us a pretty good frame of what we are to think about in the essence of this. So it was important. All right. Yeah. They couldn't touch it.
So don't touch it.
Yeah. So what happens if you touch it?
It was not a good thing. Over in 2 Samuel 6, I can't remember the dude's name.
Uzzah touched the ark, yes.
And he was out of good intentions. It even made David mad.
Yeah.
But it also made David afraid mm-hmm. of the ark.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing about that is that it wasn't that it was just a rule for a rule's sake.
Right.
And Uzzah touching the ark was not going to change the ark.
Right.
But you touch the glory of God, your flesh is just going to die.
Man,
what happened.
They were dancing out in front of that thing, too. You know, so David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord, and all kinds of instruments, and fir wood on harps and stringed instruments and tambourines. They were having a service, man. They were putting it together. They were enjoying God, you know.
But then that happened. David wouldn't bring it on up to his house.
Right.
Because the ark and the tabernacle were totally separated at that point.
That's right.
There'd been all sorts of weird things happen. The ark, Philistines stole it.
Yeah.
They wanted rid of it, though, after a little while, because it was bringing bad things on them.
That's right. Yeah, it says here, I love this, it says in the scripture that Nashon's threshing, and when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it for the oxen and stumbled.
Yep.
Oh gosh, I can't let this hit the ground, right? Man, there's so much in that little thing too. We could do a whole other podcast on that. Because, you know, man, I know people that try to control their holiness and control the holiness of God, and as if it can be controlled, and that's just a whole different story. So, anyways, it says the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error.
Yeah.
Man.
I think it was just before this happens when they opened the ark.
Yep.
The children of Israel opened the ark.
That's right.
They knew better.
They knew better, yeah.
And it was about the time, something sort of right around here, and 50,000 of them died. And it's like, okay.
It's not like the instructions weren't clear.
Yeah.
On what to do and how to do it. And I think it's the same today. I don't think, you know, the scripture is unclear about not only us approaching God and us having a relationship with God and us being close to God and us being, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think scripture is pretty clear about it, but my eyes, you know, the eyes of the, you know, we talk about the eyes of the heart, that, you know, our mind, ears, all the senses opening up and being able to learn and understand. You know, the Holy Spirit is in us for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. He's not only just the presence of God, you know, it's the understanding. It's everything that goes along with that, right? So as we move forward in this, there's an interesting story here. So Uzzah touches the ark and dies. And the New Testament gives us something totally opposite in this framework here. And let's talk about that for a second, because, you know, Uzzah, in his good intentions, tried to control it and touched it, right?
Yeah.
What else happened as a result in the New Testament? Well, there's an exact opposite story here. And this kind of frees up your mind a little bit to understand what was going on. And we could talk about what was in the ark. We could talk about all the things that were happening around that.
It's interesting that God created the ark for his presence to be in.
Right.
And his glory.
Right.
To fill.
Right.
And it's like I said a while ago, he prepared a box.
Yeah.
Prepared a box for his presence. And that gets us to what happened. We don't even know what happened to the ark.
Yeah.
It probably got destroyed by the Romans when they destroyed the temple.
Probably so.
But let's share this story that I think that parallels Uzzah touching the ark.
Yes.
Luke 8:43. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any like the man, you know, she came and she touched Jesus' the hem of his robe.
The hem of it, yes.
Touched him, which was against the law. It's pretty interesting. She wasn't even supposed to be there.
Right.
Let me pull up all the rest of the scripture here. Hebrews. What was that? Hebrews.
Yeah, you don't reach out and touch.
Luke 8:43. I think this ice storm has my mind still frozen.
It's Luke 8:43, yes.
Okay, it says in the 44, it says, and having come near behind, touched the fringe of his garment, and presently the issue of her blood stood. And Jesus said, who is it that touched me? And all denying, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes press thee and throng thee, and thou dost say, who is it that touched me? And Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I knew power having gone forth from me. I'm reading the Young's literal translation, which is fine.
It's fine, yeah.
And the woman, having seen that she was not healed, trembling came, having fallen before him, for what cause she touched him, declared to him before all the people, and how she was healed presently. And he said to her, take courage, daughter, and thy faith has saved thee. Be going on to peace. Basically, he said, your faith has made you well.
Yeah.
So what did she believe there?
Well, I think she believed that on the fringe of it, even if I could just get a little bit, right?
Yep.
That she'd be healed, cleansed, different.
She knew the presence of God
would be there. Boom.
It was in Jesus.
Yep.
The difference here, it's interesting, is the Old Testament ark, you touched it and you died where the presence of God was.
Yeah.
And so we're here to say, today, to say Jesus was the ark of the new covenant. The new covenant of grace. Not of the letter of the law, but of mercy, truth, and grace. And this lady, she understood that.
Yeah.
She understood that God's presence and glory dwelt in Jesus. Something Jason and I were talking about the other day, and I got to wondering, because I haven't gone and researched this real thoroughly yet, but when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom.
Hmm. Yeah.
And we always talk about, you know, the way into the most holy of places has been made. But I got to wondering, was this a sign that you could go in there, or was it a sign that God's presence left and took up residence somewhere else?
Hmm. Yeah.
That he left the ark.
Yeah.
And I tend to think that his presence was in the ark and in Jesus while Jesus was a physical living. But when Jesus' body died, God's glory and presence totally moved to Jesus.
Mm.
Away from a physical box.
Mm-hmm.
He had prepared a body.
Yeah.
As opposed to a box.
Yeah. And he kept saying, Jesus even refers to in early Acts, in late chapters of all these books, he talks about me sending a helper. You know, I think the understanding of what was going to happen, that the power of God, you know, was going to be displayed in a different way, you know, and going, you know, the presence of God. Those disciples in the early church did some things that and I are just inconceivably thinking of, and they were performing the miracles of God based on what? The power of God in them.
Yeah.
It wasn't the power of God outside of them that was just, and it fell, and he engulfed the disciples. In other words, took up residence within them. It wasn't, you know, they talk about the fire and the tongues and all the things like that. Now, I'm sorry, this is totally different. But point is there, is that, you know, you talk about the presence leaving the ark, that the power, the presence, all that stuff leaving the ark, it took up in Jesus. Jesus went to heaven, says, I'm sending you somebody else. Go and wait. Right? What happens? Yeah. Well, they do exactly what he says, and here it is. So I think that's pretty accurate there. I think that's a...
and obviously, 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the temple.
That's right.
And the ark's gone. Destroyed it, but it's gone. And nobody has seen anything like that since in the physical.
Right. So... I love the dichotomy between Uzzah and the woman. And you make it pretty clear, you know, he was doing the work of God that day, right?
The work of God that God told him not to do.
Which was to touch.
Don't touch.
Don't touch. Don't lay a hand on. What's she doing? Well, she's touching.
She's doing what the law said. And she's doing exactly what the law said not to do also.
Oh, man. So...
because she was considered unclean, and if she touched him, she'd make him unclean.
That's right.
But guess what? Uzzah didn't make the Ark of the Covenant unclean.
Clean.
And the lady didn't make Jesus unclean.
That's right. Such a good picture right there, because, you know, it saved her. It changed her.
Oh, it changed.
Yes, it changed.
She was an outcast.
Absolutely.
In her own home.
Right.
She couldn't even go to the temple.
Mm. Yeah, I mean it changed her. Yeah,
she couldn't go Powers where God's presence was supposed to be.
It's so good
because they said you're unclean.
He didn't see her, but he knew it, right?
Yeah.
All right. So how does this change the perspective of the way we see Jesus? You know, I mean, we've talked about the things that he was represented and all the things within, but let's talk about that.
You think about the Ark of the Covenant contained the law.
The tablets of stone, correct?
Yep. Tablets of stone. Who was Jesus?
Well, the law.
Excuse me. The Word became flesh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Logos. You think about, I mean, this is kind of off the subject too, but we were talking early. A lot of people get mixed up between what the law is and what the old covenant was.
Right.
the old covenant was a covenant that the people needed to keep the law. We're supposed to keep the law.
Yeah.
It was not the law.
Right.
The old covenant was fulfilled by Jesus, and it went away.
Right.
The law did not.
Correct.
But it was fulfilled.
That's right. Yep.
He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it.
And fulfill it. That's exactly right.
And here we are. Jesus, who is the Word, the Logos, who is the law, has become the Ark of the New Covenant. He's carrying the glory of God. He is God.
He is God. He's carrying the glory of God. He is the law, right?
Exactly. He's also the fulfillment
of the law. All right. So we see that. Well, there's manna on the inside, right? Yeah. There's different things that go on with this whole
the bread of life.
He talks about the sustaining life,
the living bread of life, because the manna in the ark never rotted.
That's right. Such good pictures there.
The rod that budded,
yes,
the vine, the true vine.
Yeah,
there's so many comparisons there, and we're going to do more on it sooner or later.
Yeah. But
today we're talking about the fact that the presence of God was in Jesus, a very part of Jesus, the very glory of God.
Yes. I'll just say this, that Jesus is the complete resolution of all those things.
Yeah.
In other words, you talked about the fulfillment of it. He is the complete fulfillment of everything that's in that, that was contained in the box. The glory of God, the righteousness of God. All those, everything that you can think of that allows us to have a relationship with him. He has fulfilled that on us, before us and in us.
And that's because everything that happened with the ark, the pillar of fire and cloud, all of that was God pointing toward relationship.
That's right.
Presence. You can be present with me.
So good.
It's so crazy because you just think about it. And that ark, pretty much everything in the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus.
Right. Yep. So good, man. Yeah. Golly, man.
Where that ark was, people were blessed.
Yeah.
David was afraid, so he left the ark in a tent down on the guy's threshing floor. Then he heard back, hey, this guy's...
He's doing well,
everything's
man.
Everything's doing great. His crops and everything, it's going good.
They're thriving.
So then David brought it up to
shocking,
his house.
Isn't it? I want to thrive,
And that was an image of somebody who was thriving in the physical.
Yeah.
But the presence of God now, we thrive in the spiritual.
Absolutely. So good. All right, so Romans 8.
Romans 8.
To take this, a step further, 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? 29.
Who's he talking about?
The firstborn among many brethren. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, right?
Yep.
He goes back. It's almost people want to compare him to Adam, right?
Yeah.
In that situation, because he was the firstborn among man, right? What did he do? Well, what was his, what did we inherit from Adam?
Sin.
Yeah, inherited sin, right? But he calls him that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Any brethren. So not only is it talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's talking about anybody who has received Christ. Born again.
Okay. And that's who he foreknew and also predestined to be conformed.
To
the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many. So there's so much there. Gosh almighty. Listen, it's... the depth of the knowledge goes quite deep here. Yeah, so good, man.
And continue on.
He says in Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. He also called, and to whom he called, these he also justified. And from whom he justified, these he also glorified. He's talking about being called, the justified, and the glorified, right there. Three things, right?
Yes.
And who's he talking about there? Well,
us.
He's already, you know, he already mentioned the firstborn among many, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, here. Now, who's he talking about? Well, Paul's referring back to the believers. So those he predestined, to those he called, right? He goes, you think about that. That word, he goes all the way back to Romans 1:7 when he starts talking about to those he called, the beloved, you know, called of God. You know, that's the believers. It's the church. It's us, the bride. But he gives you some things in there that are pretty important to your life that you need to know about yourself.
Well, that first one about being the firstborn among many brethren, that's indicating the firstborn of many of the same.
That's right. Exactly right. Many of the same. So he also, you know, called you, but he also justified you, right?
The cross.
Yep. What does justified mean? The meaning of it is simply to be made right.
Yep.
If you're gonna place it in simple definition, it's to be made right. All right. But also, to be made right means this, is that you're not in bad standing.
No.
You know, it was a term of, oh man, how should I say this? It's almost in a term of acquittal, as in a courtroom.
You're justified in who you are.
That's exactly right. All right. So to whom he justified, he also what? Glorified.
Glorified.
And this is a good one right here.
I love this word. You're the Greek person. So.
Well, let me go look this up so I don't screw it up, because I can do that. But Romans 8, 30. And then let me do a little bit of little research here. Go down to Romans 30. If you don't have eSword, I recommend you picking up eSword. It's a good little... I'm still in Luke. That's a problem. I was like, that's not Romans. But going all the way down to Romans 30 here, he uses this word that's so good. The very end of it is doxazo is the name of it. And, you know, it's a aorist active indicative, all right? And so there's tense, there's voice, there's mood. It's referring to it, right? It's singular in number. There's so many things there that's good. But the aorist tense talks about it being everlasting, right? Past, present, future.
Yeah.
All right, continual. And so the word here, doxazo, talks about so many different things that we could look at. The Strong's... and I'll just say, the Strong's means to render or to esteem glorious in a wide application, to make glorified, full of glory, honor, magnificent. Okay, and so those are terms we often use when we talk about God, right?
Yes.
The glory of God. He's another, that he's are these things. Well, how does that confer to man then? If that's who he's... Oh, that's not the same way, man. That's not the same way, Jason. That's not what he's talking about there. Okay? But...
Yeah.
If I read the scripture wrong, then I may have that he predestined us, which he called us beforehand. He foreknew it. Right?
Yeah.
And these he also called. He's also called you. You responded to his voice.
Yep.
The calling of God on your life, you have responded to based on what he has done already. then he justified you because you couldn't justify yourself.
Yep.
Okay. With these he also, is that? These he also glorified. Dagzadso. Okay. That word, Thayer uses it this way. And this is a good, I like this as well. It's to make excellent.
Make excellent.
To make excellent. Strong. He talks about to render excellent, to render in glorious esteem. It's
one of the things there was make full.
To make full. That's exactly right.
Full of glory.
It's to impart glory to another. I mean, it's oh man, it just changes the way that you see that. It occurs 62 different times in the New Testament. Talking and referring to you, referring to God, referring to the person of Jesus Christ. Well, how does all those things happen for us? And that's the question is here's what happens, and here's what people do, and I may be wrong about this too, but we're going to talk about it. Okay? And just throw this out of left field is that what people tend to do when we talk about the glory of God, and we talk about man, and how those two things are intermingled. Well, how do we have life? Well, we have life because God has given us himself.
Exactly.
Through the form of Jesus Christ, you know, right? And he sent a helper called the Holy Spirit. All those three people are one who are God, right? That's how we refer to God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Those three things are important to us in our relationship with him. And that being important to our relationship with him, the glory of God, he doesn't share with another, but he gives us his son. Did whom he not glorify his son?
Nope.
Did he not glorify the Holy Spirit? Are those not things of glory? Okay. So do I try to steal that glory, JT? No, I don't steal that glory, but that glory is alive and well in you and me. The presence of God is no longer in that temple, and he is in us and saved us and redeemed us and has given us access to him, and then the very presence and the glory of God is in us as well.
So what we're saying here, what we are saying here, let me get over here to this verse. Ephesians 3:19.
Hmm.
We've heard this verse. We don't even ever consider what it says, hardly. Let's start it. Let's see. Maybe 3:18 or 3:17.
That Christ
may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through
right.
faith.
Got to believe. That's belief.
That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. It says, hey, you need to understand this, that we'd like for you to understand.
You got to understand, you're the beloved of God, yes.
May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That's crazy. They want you to understand, but it passes knowledge.
Yeah, it'll
blow your mind. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness. It said Jesus was full of grace and truth, and was the glory of the only begotten of the Father.
Right.
But he was the firstborn of many.
That's right.
So what we're saying, we are the ark of the new covenant.
Hmm.
We are the box. The body that God has prepared to carry his glory and his presence to the world.
That's right.
And what's the verse Jesus was talking about? He was telling his disciples, greater things than these will you do.
Mm-hmm.
Greater works. Yes. They were wanting to know about the works of God. Let's see if we can find that. We need to find that real quick.
While you're finding that one, I'm gonna back you up on what you just read. And we're going to make a full circle back to John chapter 1.
Go for it.
Yeah, because he knows what I'm about to say. All right, we talked about him, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15 says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he whom I said, he comes after me, is prepared before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Love it.
Listen to this, John 14:11. Or we'll start at 14:10. Do you not believe? There's that word again. That's funny how that word keeps popping up. That I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. See, it's interesting that the Father had to do the works even in Jesus. Jesus couldn't just, if it wasn't the Father doing it, Jesus' physical body would, not going to do that.
Yep.
So anyway, 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father and Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. More assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
Whatever you ask in my name. Yeah, that's so good, man.
That verse always bothered me. Greater works than these? I don't seem to be, you know, the way I look at Jesus and the way most people look at Jesus, he's raising people from the dead and things like that. But he said greater works than what he did, we would do. See, he carried the glory of God in a perfect, sinless body.
Mm.
He became the Ark of the New Covenant.
That's right.
Then he made us many brethren.
Right.
And we get to carry the glory of God, the same glory of God that was in that ark.
Mm.
The same glory of God that was in that pillar of fire.
Mm.
The same glory of God that passed over the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The same glory of God that was in Jesus when he raised the men from the dead. Mm. When he raised Lazarus. The same glory is in us in our wretched bodies.
Mm.
This body of flesh,
yep,
that is no longer me, carries the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And his laws are written on our hearts.
That's right, man.
Just like the tablets.
Yep.
And we bring the glory of God to the world, the presence of God, so that people can approach and see that God is approachable.
It's so good. Yep. Yep.
And we can't change that.
We can't.
We can't alter the glory of God. We can believe or not believe.
Yep. That's exactly right.
But it's here. If you are a child of Jesus, the bridegroom, if you're a child of God and you've accepted Jesus, then you carry the glory of God.
Hmm.
In this earthen vessel, as it says.
That's right.
What it is, we carry this treasure.
Yeah, and here's what it does for all of you who struggle with the idea that you can't get away from sin. Okay, I'm pulling some ropes here, man, today.
Yeah.
But I said I want to get dangerous. But here's the deal. Sin, you know, when we talk about sin, well, our bodies are wretched. Well, that's Paul's wording, right?
Yeah.
Paul used it in Romans 7, a wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death. Man.
Death.
Huh?
body is death.
That's what he called it. Your body is a body of death. We carry it around. It's what he's saying here. Who will save me from? Well, thanks be to God through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right. Well, what has Jesus Christ, our Lord, done for us in this whole situation? All right. And what does Paul refer to people as all the time in his letters? He doesn't refer to them to, hold on, I'll just read Romans real fast, okay? And then, this is his longest introduction, but since we've talked a lot about Romans today, I'll just read this introduction to you. And here's what it doesn't say. All right, so he in verse 7, this is when he finally... this is when he finally calls somebody something in this, referring to the people, yeah. Right? He says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. All right, Ephesians 1:1. He talks about this in Ephesians 1:1. I brought this up with the guys the other day that I've been meeting with. But it's a, heck, you could even go to any of them, Galatians. All right. Talks about the churches of Galatia. He talks about all those brethren. He mentions the word brethren. He mentions the word Ephesians 1:1 says to the saints who were in Ephesus. Okay? And so what I'm saying here is this, is that his words are intentional, but what has Jesus Christ done for the saints, for the called ones, for the people who carry around this body of death now, right? That no longer represents us. Right, that no longer has a hold of us. Well, he says this. He says in Colossians, for by him all things were created, that were heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created through him and for him. 17 says, and he is above and before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things he may have the preeminence, right? For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. This is Jesus, who's alive in us, by the way, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross.
Yep.
Well, how do you have peace? Well, it's alive and well inside of you, right? The resource is there. It's there for you. How do we have that? Well, we have it through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Just got to believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the Old Testament, here's the thing we talked about. We were justified.
Yeah.
Old Testament Psalms 103:14 says, it is noted that God remembers that we are dust.
Hmm.
We are justified. He understands and has justified this physical body in its weakness.
Yeah. So good. It's real good because, oh, well, Jason, what you're telling us now is that we can go do anything we want to and still be considered a son of God. A daughter of God. Well,
if that's your desire,
that's your desire. Yes.
And let me know how it works out for you.
Here's what I'll say is this, in reference to all that, is that we put so much pressure on ourselves to try to make ourselves perfect. And that we shouldn't have to live that way. And in living that way, there's nothing I can do to perfect what God has already perfected.
We think if we can spruce up this body of death,
then we might be loved more, accepted, well, or obeyed.
Or that we'll make God look better.
Yes.
That's Lord, the one that gets me.
Yeah.
We can make God's glory look better. if we get our ducks in a row, God's glory will look better.
Oh, man. Well, here's what I'll say to that is, you know, is that it draws me, this whole thing we're talking about draws me in to knowing him, to being intimate with him, to having a relationship. What does that consist of? Man, for me, I conversate with that guy in me, the glorious God, the Father of the heavens and the earth, all the time, constantly, without ceasing. Yeah. And it may not look like what you think it should look like either. But there's always a conversation going on. Yeah. There's always a desire within me to want to do what this tells me, right? To learn about it, to grow in it. And there's always that desire. Yeah. It's not because of anything that I've done that's been...
That's because it's written on our hearts.
Because, yeah, it doesn't draw me to want to go do bad things is what I'm talking about, JT. It doesn't make me want to go do this.
His body and death can do that.
That's exactly right. No. That's right. You're not underneath that dominion of sin anymore, but you're underneath the dominion of the kingdom of God, of righteousness. And he's alive and well in you. I love it.
And he's made it so that nothing I can do can change that.
Mm-mm. Exactly right.
And that's where rest.
Mm-hmm.
I can rest.
That's where peace comes in, too. Yeah. This is so good.
And I got to tell you, it makes me feel a lot better to think that the glory of God dwells in here. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That power that was in the ark.
That's right. Exactly
right. The power that was in Jesus.
Hmm.
That gives you rest. Because you realize it's a whole lot more powerful than this old body of death.
It sure is. Love it.
Mm. You're being fired up here.
It does. Makes me want to sit down and write some more. I'm going to come back to the book here real fast as we end up the conversation. But I love this. And I'm going to read some of these things off the back here. Some of the quotes from the book. If God's not pointing a finger at you, then why are you pointing a finger at yourself, right? Basically, yep. Then why are you, right? The layers of Christianity have stymied the desire for intimacy in relationship with God. That happens. So resting in the finished work of this is one of my favorites of all time right here. Resting in the finished work of Christ frees you from the need to fix that which God has already fixed.
Oh, yeah.
That's out of the Religion Hears, the Spirit Does book. And like I said, it's on Amazon. And we'll leave a link on this
video,
on this video with it, so that you can go and pick that up and just let it be an encouragement to you. Let your family read it. You read it and open it up. The first chapter really jumps into the fact that we're not condemned.
Yeah.
And not to read scripture condemned. And if that's the one nugget that you take away from the book itself, then awesome. But the one thing that I'm very thankful for is that we have the opportunity to do those things and
yeah.
be able to share them with you through this podcast and through books and through different conversations that we've had over the years. And there's a bunch of them out there. So go watch them on YouTube. If you go to Coffees and Conversations About God, right?
Yep.
You'll see all the episodes that we've done before, and there'll be some things happening that I'm pretty excited about coming up in the future.
Yes, and not sure we're going to do another podcast, hopefully soon, but Ice Storm gave us this chance.
So. Yeah, it did. So it freed up my day today, and so I love the state of Texas. You know, when you're in the state of Texas and you have, it doesn't matter how much amount of ice there is, there's something stopping around here. And school is one of them. And so the country roads was what killed it today yeah. because there's a lot of roads out there off the main highway that were iced over still
because of the trees. Well, anything in the shade, just like out in front of this building.
Yeah.
You can't walk on the concrete out in front of the building.
So
this podcast today is brought to you by the Ice Storm 2026.
That's exactly right. All right, well, for Jason, this is JT, and we'll see you next time.